from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
One sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At a Taco Mac, Dallas Highway in Marietta, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is going on, Atlanta? We got a lot to talk about. Braves need to get their act together, and I don't know if they can. Also, we'll tell you the latest on what happened with the Falcons today as they continue practice down there in Miami with the Dolphins. The unfortunate thing, we've been reporting it all day, Rondell Moore gets injured, leg injury, Mike, and is carted off, and that called practice. They had about 30 minutes or so to play. Or at least practice, and, you know, both coaches are like, we're good. We've seen enough. So the good news is they did get some good work in, and Kate Nellis talked about it today with us here on the radio station saying, look, man, we got some pressure. We were disruptive. We feel really good defensively, which is something we were concerned about. I asked you guys, what area of concern for you do you want this team? Hey, we come out of this Miami, you know, joint practice. What are we going to be talking about? Mike, it feels like, or at least sounds like from the guys on the defensive side, they got what they wanted to get accomplished.
Yeah, man, I know it's just a real heartbreaker to lose a player to injury. And, you know, we talked about Rondell Moore and, you know, again, a guy that was doing really well in practice and certainly has a role because of his speed element. We said earlier, maybe a chance for KC Washington, a guy we spoke about yesterday at length, and the other guys who you're going to see on Friday night. That's our 6th-round draft pick rookie out of Illinois who looks good, so that's opportunity for him. But, yeah, they had to cut practice short, but according to everything, and we'll hear from Torrey McElhinney coming up next segment, who was providing the heat? Another good day for Ebba Cady in that defensive line. You know, our young guys that we drafted, you know, Braylon Trice was able to get out there. So, and we talked to Cade Nellis. We'll replay that for you later in the show, but he likes some of the guys that we drafted too.
Yeah, he does.
And they have to contribute to getting after the quarterback.
We're going to need the young guys to pop. And, Mike, I would tell you at least three, not all at the same time. Through the course of the season, we're going to need at least three of those guys.
Is Rook going to be a breakout guy?
I hope.
Rook or Row?
I hope so. He's got to be. I think three of those guys have to show us that they can contribute in a major way. And the reason why I say that is just experience says when you have a Super Bowl caliber team, your rookie class contributes. It happened with Kansas City last year. 9 rookies contributed along the way to the Super Bowl. And then you look at, Mike, you know, our year, we went 2016. Right. Bunch of rookies, man. I mean, you've got to get production from those guys. So, yeah, I'm hoping that's the case. We'll talk more about it with Torrey McElhinney. Right now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right. As we continue to talk about Georgia and their camp that's going on, there are a lot of expectations, obviously, for Georgia. But one of the things we've been discussing is who out of the ACC is going to potentially be a college football playoff team. Now, remember, there are 12 teams this year that will get an opportunity to compete for the national championship. Mike, ESPN says Florida State and Clemson should be in real contention for the college football playoff. Are you buying this? Because for everything you've been telling me about Norvell and the quarterback situation with Ui Ungalale, and whether you buy into how good this team is going to be,
right?
Do you see Florida State as a playoff team this year?
You see, that's the thing. Florida State fans, you know, I was just reading a blog from somebody who's an FSU booster, and they're like, we got to get after Kirk Herbstreit. College game day is going to be there because he said we didn't deserve to be in that Final Four.
Where, in Scotland?
Yeah, Ireland. In Ireland for the game when Georgia Tech plays FSU in Dublin, week zero on August 24th. And I hit the guys back. I'm like, I don't think you get to chirp after getting humiliated by Georgia, you know? Getting absolutely humiliated.
63.
You don't have a culture.
Three.
Yeah, you don't have a third quarterback. That was evident last year. You didn't have a third. Ohio State won a national championship with three quarterbacks one year. So, I mean, for all the Florida State fans who want to say we've arrived, you want to excommunicate me from the fold of Seminole Nation? I got to see it happen this year with DJU, who, by the way, for his career is right at 60%. Completion rate. I mean, isn't it crazy to think that Miami and Florida State are depending on quarterbacks from Washington State and Oregon State? One guy who's on his third team.
True.
So I know that's the nature of the transfer portal and anything can happen, but they got wide receivers. They brought in another class of tremendous transfers and studs. They got good defensive line core, good veteran offensive line groups. So that's all positives for them, but you're going to go as far as DJU because every other quarterback is untested.
Yeah,
I don't trust him.
I think the SEC is going to have five, potentially six teams. I'm not joking. That's how good I think the SEC will be this year, whether that is, you know, Alabama, potentially Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss. These are all playoff teams in my mind as we start the season. But for the ACC, Mike, if you're telling me they're going to get two in, right, let's just say, because, again, you got the Big 12 still and the Big 10, which is going to create the other four or five teams. And then I think you're looking at two, three teams in this whole makeup of the playoff that you say, all right, what conference is going to have the less amount of teams? Right now, for me, it's the ACC.
I mean, the argument would be if Norvell is that good. The offense apparently is rather complicated for some, and some felt that Jordan Travis was still mastering it when he was a senior or a second, maybe his redshirt. You know, he had the extra years because of COVID. I don't know, but I would say this. Miami, a lot of folks are really high on what they're doing down there. But, again, the coaching staff, they made colossal blunders. That loss to Georgia Tech last year was inexcusable.
It was coaching mistake.
For the great wins in Georgia Tech history recently. But Cam Ward is down there as a transfer. We spent a lot of time this week on Clemson. You know, is Cade Klubnik going to elevate his game?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about they've got a lot of defensive players that have experience that are returning. So, I mean, that's why I felt with Georgia, if I was going to bet, you know, I would bet Georgia Tech to cover against FSU. I wouldn't bet Georgia to cover against Clemson just yet. If you know, their defense is as good as some people think it's going to be this year.
Well, listen, both teams have the potential to have elite defenses. They got really good skilled talent on offense. We're talking about Florida State and Clemson and how this ACC thing is going to shake out with the college football playoff. Remember, we've said this all along. We do think there will be teams with two or maybe even three losses. But with the strength of schedule, is a three-loss Florida State team or a three-loss Clemson getting in the college football playoff?
Let me give you this scenario. Clemson loses and maybe keeps it close, under 10, to Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia goes in as a number one or two seed in the playoff.
Okay.
A two-loss Clemson as an ACC champion could get in.
I agree with that.
You know, a two-loss FSU, I think three would be the magic number because you'd have too many two-loss teams, for argument's sake, and Ole Miss. Right?
Yep.
A Missouri, if they have their stuff together, which a lot of people have. Look, Missouri's a top 10 team preseason. So if those teams, because only two teams can play in the SEC championship, one and two, divisions are gone. So that would be an argument where, you know, maybe a two-loss conference champion, ACC, they throw them a ball.
We will see, guys.
Because the schedules are pretty weak.
Average. They're average.
Yes.
They're not.
Remember,
they're average.
The ACC made that little banner that they had at the ACC media days that said that the toughest out of conference schedule in college football, which really isn't, you know, exactly what people say is a great selling point.
We are talking about one other story in college football. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we broadcast live from Taco Mac in Marietta. Guys, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. The other big story, Mike, that we're talking about in college football is this show calls now for Jim Harbaugh. It's a four-year show calls for recruiting violations. So hear us clearly. This has nothing to do with the guy that was in disguise on the sidelines that was being investigated. And now we get back from the NCAA that, hey, there were multiple coaches who knew about this. It was bigger than what we expected. This is separate, Mike.
This is during the COVID year where apparently there was impermissible contact. This is the famous, you know, the $15 cheeseburger. This, a lot of folks, Michigan fans are saying, this is your classic old-fashioned NCAA picking, you know, let's, you know, Mouse.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Crap out. You get the idea.
Yeah.
It's very pecune. I'm sorry, I was mixing my metaphors, but you get the idea. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's a kind of secondary violations. But the problem is, for instance, I just talked to a big Michigan fan who said, guys, the reason Michigan was so successful, he goes, they had all their upperclassmen, 24, 25. I mean, that was a year in 23. They had all these fifth-year seniors. They had top 10 recruiting.
He's right.
You know, and I tell, his name is Bobby Key. I said, I agree. I said to him, the problem is, you can't lie to an NCAA investigator or try to cover stuff up. And never that's what Harbaugh apparently did.
Never cheat.
Yeah.
Never steal.
Exactly.
And according to the article that I read, and this is, you know, granted, this is from USA Today, it's almost like there was an effort from the coaching staff to get their story straight, which, in other words, they covered up when the NCAA. This is the kind of stuff that could be reduced to secondary violations, but they made it worse by lying.
Correct. And I don't debate the listener who's texting or tweeting at you, Mike. There is something to be said. Harbaugh did have top five classes. Those last 4 years there, the recruiting did increase, and he did have really good players, and they did have the best defense in college football last year. There's no debating that, or the best offensive line, too. But this makes me wonder how it all got done, and that is the issue. It's not the end result. It's how you got there. How did you get to this point where all of this stuff played out for you and you, again, beating your rival after being destroyed by them the first few seasons you're there and then, more importantly, going on and winning a college football playoff? Guys, a one-year show cause is a big deal. 4 years? That means Harbaugh could quit tomorrow and say, I'm going back to college football. He's not getting back in.
And the other thing is, and I said this to Carl earlier in the show for guys who missed it, 2011, you had the Ohio State scandal. Now, all of this sounds absolutely ridiculous, where we are now with name, image, likeness, and all the money guys can earn as they deserve it. Terrell Pryor got suspended by the NFL for 5 games because he traded autographs to get tattoos in Columbus.
Stupid now. When you think about it now.
So you're telling me you got a coach, you just said it. Jim Harbaugh's got a 4-year show cause. We're not even talking about the cheating scandal. Roger Goodell, if he's going to take the precedent that was set in 2011, needs to suspend Jim Harbaugh for four games, minimum.
He's not going to.
That I hate hypocrisy.
He's not going.
And if you remember, the reason they did the Terrell Pryor thing, it's after all the after the Ray Rice and all the discipline they were trying to.
Of course.
They're trying to crack down. And
it, was
like
a, it was a lot going on with the NFL.
A lot of stuff in the NFL trying to show that they're law and order now. Bunch of nonsense. I mean, based on that set of based on that precedent, Jim Harbaugh should get suspended for four games to start the season. Nothing to do with anything. Nor did Terrell Pryor. You're suspending a guy before he's even gotten to work for you. For something that had nothing to do with your employment.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
It's nuts, and that is a story that, you know, today we keep an eye on and we've been talking about.
And I don't, at the end of the day, Terrell Pryor was a great big nothing in the NFL, but still, it's still
the principle.
Not right.
Was it right? No, it's the principle. Hey, man, Tori McElhaney is going to join us, Falcons.com writer and analyst. She's down there with our Falcons in Miami. We'll find out the latest about practice, what went down today, and hopefully an update on this injury with Rondale Moore.
Hey, look who just rolled into the bar here at Taco Mac in Marietta. It's an Australian. Better keep the coke and ecstasy away from him, Carl.
Well, he says, I'm not into those things. He walked up literally and goes, I'm not into those
things. He doesn't play field hockey.
Hey, we'll talk to Tori McElhaney next. Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Taco Mac, Dallas Highway in Marietta. Meeting some folks. Spence, man, thank you for coming through. Appreciate you. He came over, Mike. He was just talking about, you know, being a longtime listener. And he was like, I said, hey, what do you do? And he said, I'm retired. But, you know, we started talking football. He heard us talking about, you know, Florida State and dogs and all this stuff. And he said, yeah, man, I went to school with Lawrence Taylor. So he was at
Tar Heel, yeah.
He was at North Carolina with Lawrence Taylor. So we were just talking about, you know, Lawrence. Man, I'll say this. And despite all the issues that have happened through his life, Mike, there was never a more dominant player in the NFL than Lawrence Taylor.
Never forget, man. So I remember saw his first Giants game in preseason as a kid with my dad. And he was just the speed, you'd never seen a guy that size move like that.
True.
And that's why we always get into it. And Tori McElhaney is going to join us to talk about the Falcons. When you talk about some of the best people you ever saw, you know, in person for a time.
Yes.
You know, because Mike Vick blew people's minds, Jerry Rice.
Yes.
To see Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White.
Yep.
You know, all dudes we got to see. And you and I both got to see Barry Sanders in his prime.
Yeah, Barry was the only reason I watched Lions games,
right?
Period. Because the Lions were awful, but yet you might see something amazing,
right,
which you often did with Barry Sanders. But, yeah, man, Spencer, thanks for coming out and stopping by and seeing us here. Guys, if you're just tuning in, we will talk more about our Falcons coming up in the Falcon Report, but Tori's going to join us here in just a bit. She covers the team with Falcons.com and is an analyst as well, and we'll get her opinion on what went down today. Now, again, tomorrow they will not practice with each other. It will be, you know, Falcons handling their business on their own, kind of a team walkthrough situation. He's going to give those legs a little bit of a rest, Mike. And then Friday is the preseason game. Our coverage begins at 5 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Friday.
So as we mentioned, we'd normally be at Twin Peaks. So no, we're going to move that back a week and then just be, you know, a 3-hour program as we get you ready for the 3-hour pregame for Falcons. And again, we hear from the depth chart, Michael Penix. I think you're going to see him for, if not the first half, certainly a big chunk of the first half, which is, I think, everything Falcon fans want to see.
No doubt.
MPJ.
Does it matter if he's playing with second and third team guys? Because that's probably going to be the situation.
Patrick Mahomes and the starters that are healthy will start for the Chiefs, but that's the exception around the league. You know, we've heard about Aaron Rodgers saying it was news to him about being a starter or not starting in the preseason. We're obviously not going to have our starters out there. I think maybe the second week, the next week, we'll have a series like we did last year against Cincinnati. You'll see how maybe Raheem approaches it differently in weeks 2 and 3 of the preseason.
Yeah.
We got the Dolphins, and then it's the Ravens, and then the Jags.
All right. We do want to mention Braves back in action tonight. We're going to talk more about that with Grant McCauley coming up. But, Mike, there is something out there. We were waiting on Tori McElhaney, and we will get her on. But our buddy John Heyman, who joined our show for 2 or 3 years, whatever it was, longtime baseball insider.
Yeah. Knows his stuff.
Is reporting, or at least he's hearing, okay, because it's nothing official. So for Braves fans, don't freak out.
Right.
But he is put out there that it is possible that Brian Snicker steps away after next season. Brian Snicker, our manager, potentially stepping away after next season. Not this season, after next season. But Mike and I were kind of discussing this amongst ourselves. One is, I think his contract is up. Two, Mike, remember, Snick became a manager very late in life, right?
Right. And he was a lifer in the organization, third base coach, minor league manager, had been there forever.
So he ends up winning a World Series. He's had unbelievable success, guys. I mean, since 2018, we took the turn and all these guys started taking off. And, you know, you realize you've got a core that you can build around. Snick has done an amazing job. And again, I don't think anybody would debate maybe the best managerial job was 2021, where he had to maneuver all the pitching situations and get us there. But, again, it's just something that's out there, and a guy that we trust in John Heyman has put it out there.
And, again, you're right. It's a two-year extension. He signed in 23, so 25 would be Snickers last year. So maybe seeing it through his last season. And, unfortunately, this year, injuries and the inability of, let's be honest, the pitching staff outside of the top three to sustain it. Man, it's just been a very difficult season. We'll talk more about it coming up with our man, Grant.
Let's talk to Torrey McElhaney. Torrey's down there in Miami, and we appreciate you as always, Torrey. Tell us what you saw today. I know everybody was talking about the Rondale Moore injury, and I do want to get an update from you if you know anything, because prayers up for him and certainly a quick recovery, whatever it was today. But what did you take away from day two of practice with the Dolphins?
Yeah, so first things first about Rondale Moore, we don't have any new information. He was obviously carted off, had an air cast on his right leg. I'll be honest, it didn't look good in the moment. So, but I kind of said the same thing last year about Jeff Okuda's ankle injury, and it ended up he was able to come back by week five. So, you know, you hope for the best, and that's kind of where you are right now with that. As far as just what I was able to see today, I spent a lot of time watching the Falcons' first team and second team offense go against the Dolphins' first and second team defense. And I felt like they had a much better day today than they did yesterday in terms of their connection, in terms of Kirk Cousins being able to hit guys on the run. I thought that Kirk Cousins looked exceptionally clean. I had him going 12 of 15, and there was supposed to, I believe, be a whole other two-minute drill to end practice, but when Rondale Moore got hurt, they just called it quits and ended it right there and then. So overall, I think a really good day for Kirk Cousins and the pass game. And then this defense has been bringing the intensity. I feel like both days has been down here.
And that was my next question. As Torrey McElhaney joins us, guys, from Falcons.com. We talked to Caden Ellis earlier. He sounded pretty good about what he saw. How'd the defense look? Were there being make-believe sacks, or we'd have definitely had some pressure?
You know, definitely. And that was something that I took note of even yesterday was they had a red zone period that I thought this defense looked exceptionally well. You had David Onyemata, Grady Jarrett in the backfield. You had these inside linebackers kind of drawing up different blitz packages. I mean, they were kind of bringing pressure from a little bit of everywhere, which is exactly what the expectation should be. I know everybody's kind of been clamoring, oh, the Falcons didn't go out and get a pass rusher this offseason, these past couple days of joint practices just goes to show that it's not just off the edge where pressure can come from. And you were kind of seeing it all over, especially in that red zone period yesterday that I thought they looked pretty dang good.
Torrey, any of these rookies popping, though? Brandon Dorlus, I know he missed time, right, with yesterday and was back today. But, like, when we talk about this rookie class, is there somebody that's standing out to you over the last couple of days?
Yeah, Braylon Trice was the one that he was sick yesterday,
yes,
and he was back out there today. Brandon Dorlus looked pretty good these last couple of days. He was a part of that defensive front that I thought had a really good day yesterday. But someone that I think we're going to need to keep an eye on is Casey Washington. This is a guy who, especially now, not knowing what's going to happen with Rondale Moore, Casey Washington is the one that you kind of look to maybe step up and fill a role potentially a lot earlier than maybe what some people expect. You know, obviously the Falcons still have some good depth across their wide receiver core, but Casey Washington, someone that, you know, if it ends up being a worst case scenario for Rondale Moore, it wouldn't surprise me if that means more of an opportunity for someone like Casey Washington.
I know that we think this team is going to score a lot of points, Torrey, because obviously the quarterback position is solidified, and everybody we've talked to, whether it's a guy who's been on this team a few years or rookies, feels, you know, no one's going to throw the other guys under the bus. It just seems like it is what it is. We've got real starters. They're dependable. They're reliable. Who do you think is going to have the biggest year? Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan, or all of the above?
I mean, it's kind of all of the above, right? There should be a trickling effect for all three of them, the fact that Kirk Cousins is in the pocket and distributing the ball. I really think just from this camp alone, and I'll go off of this, and I really think that Kyle Pitts is poised to have a pretty dang good year. He looks the part, and that's something that even going back to last year, now we know kind of how he wasn't really close. Like he was still kind of feeling those lingering effects of the injury from the year before, and wasn't necessarily 110% and wasn't his full, speedy, strong self. And I have to say that over the course of not just these last 2 days against Miami, but over the course of this entire training camp, like, this is someone who walks out onto the field and you take notice because of just the way he looks and the way that he carries himself. And I just feel like that has to bode well for this Falcons offense to get Kyle Pitts way more involved than what we've seen him. And I don't know, I still think that Drake London is going to have, you know, obvious dividends from Kirk Cousins, and they're going to have a great connection. Darnell Mooney, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. I mean, Kirk Cousins connected with 7 different pass catchers today. It's not like this thing isn't going to be spread out, but I just have to think that in terms of immediate impact of having Kirk Cousins in the pocket, I don't know if there's anyone more important in this conversation than Kyle Pitts.
Torrey McElhaney joining us. What's the plan for Friday's preseason game? Penix sees what? Then from there, is it Heinicke? Rourke? What do you think?
I think we'll see any combination of Penix, Heinicke, and Rourke. I don't think we'll see Kirk Cousins at all, just from the way that Raheem Morris is even talking about it today, kind of saying, you know, that nothing's changed. Like, Kirk let the cat out of the bag weeks ago that his request to play fell on deaf ears, and the Falcons are like, nah, we're good. We feel good about you, Kirk. I do think that just from talking to Raheem Morris today, that we will see Michael Penix a good amount. I don't know what exactly that amount will be, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a half. And that, I'd be okay with that. And then, so you give Michael Penix the first and the second quarter, you give Heinicke the third, you give Rourke the fourth. That, if I'm drawing it up, that's what I would do.
Torrey, I mean, we like Taylor Heinicke. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to elevate when Penix got benched. That's a Freudian slip. When Desmond Ridder got benched last year. But is he now expendable because of Rourke being signed? Is that something we, maybe not this week, but maybe down the road, they look at Heinicke and say we can save some dollars and move him?
I mean, potentially, but I believe his cap hit is around $3.3 million, and I don't think you're, like, necessarily saving a whole lot, maybe $1 million. I really do think, just, and this is the nature of the quarterback position in the last year, we saw how many starting quarterbacks across the league went out at some point and could not play, and you had a backup or a backup's backup going in at quarterback last year. If I'm the Falcons, I'm kind of looking at Taylor Heinicke as this business asset, if you will, that let's say it's week 5 and something catastrophic happens to the quarterback room at a different team across the league, and you have Taylor Heinicke sitting there, a proven veteran, a guy who's been in a lot of different systems, a guy who's played in some really big games and some key moments. I mean, I think that they could get a little bit more than what you would maybe get if you just straight up don't have him on the 53-man roster. You don't keep him around as this emergency third quarterback. I just kind of think you got to look at it as a business decision in that way if you want to move off of him at all.
Torrey, I feel like, and I want to know what you've seen, because I may be, you know, watching this a little differently. I think Kirk and Darnell Mooney have a little bit of a connection. And, you know, we've been watching this in practice. And every time I look up and I tell, you know, our producer's name's Chris, we call him Turtle, I say, every time I look up, Darnell's catching something. Do you see the same thing? Are you watching this?
I do.
Okay.
I 100% do. And I laugh because it's so funny to me, because I feel like just knowing, having gotten to know them recently just as people, they feel like polar opposite people. And, like, Kirk can talk through a brick wall and is going to be happy, jovial, a little bit corny at times, which I think he would say his dad jokes are, whereas Darnell is a bit more reserved, a bit quieter, a bit, I'm going to go out and do my business and I'm not going to talk to anybody. Like, they are so very different, and yet they have this connection that has been almost pretty immediate. I mean, I even go back to the conversation that I was having with Darnell Mooney back in OTAs about the accuracy of which Kirk Cousins throws the ball. And it's an accuracy I feel like we've talked about a whole lot over the course of this training camp. And Darnell Mooney said, you know, it's on me. I need to be in the right spot, because I know if I'm in the right spot, he's going to throw it to me and it's going to be right on the money. And kind of having that confidence in your quarterback that if I'm in the right spot, he's going to get it to me, I think is the bar is on the floor. Like, that's the bare minimum for a quarterback wide receiver connection. And I think that they feel that way with such ease, even though I think their personalities are very, very different. It's a fascinating duo that I think this time last year we couldn't even have even pictured that a connection like with Kirk Cousins and Darnell Mooney was going to be something that we really, really felt strongly about going into the 2024 season if you're the Falcons.
Glad I'm not the only one seeing it. Tori, great job. Continue the great work. Read her at Falcons.com, and we'll see what happens on Friday in our first preseason game. We'll see you guys when you get back. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Tori McElhaney. Mike Bell, we're live at Taco Mac, Dallas Highway. What do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
Well, we got a great bar full of people who apparently do not have jobs, which means they're either independently wealthy and retired, and we salute you, people. What? Hey, we'll come back. We got some stuff to dive into. What if I told you you're an astronaut and you're going up to the International Space Station and you're going to be up there 8 days, but now we can't get you back till next February?
What?
That's on the way. And why was there a camera guy on the track when athletes were running at the Olympics? We'll explain.
For shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the players play. Hey, guys, thanks for coming out, man. Appreciate you guys. We got a great crowd out here, Carl.
Yes,
some
it
new
is.
Friends up here at Taco Mac. We're on Dallas Highway in Marietta, west side of a Cobb. And we'll hopefully get up here again, man. Always having a great time. It's time for some guy talk. And you feel that the Serbians, the men's basketball team, were sandbagging. Playing possum the first two times we played them in international exhibitions.
You feel that way?
I don't know. A lot of folks are beginning to wonder. And the reason I bring it up, there's an ESPN article today that says that Steve Kerr, and this is from Brian Windhorst, who says that they think maybe Serbia was playing possum. Or as they say, playing possum.
Not showing all of their cards, right?
Correct.
Yeah, not coming out and showing what they were potentially going to show if they had a rematch later in the Olympics.
Bingo. Steve Kerr says, quote, "We can't get lulled to sleep because we beat them twice. Have to be prepared for their best effort. We've got to think about what they're going to do differently. Joker, I guess he could play 40 minutes. What else do they have up their sleeve? Because the way they ran their minutes, some other guys on the bench. There's no opposing player in the Olympics the Americans have more respect for than Joker.
Sure.
They watched him become the three-time MVP. He leads Serbia in points, rebounds, assists, blocks. He's also shooting 60%. You know, obviously those guys know, they have experience with him. In the 31 minutes that he played in that lopsided loss, the score was even. In the 9 minutes when he sat, America, we outscored the Serbs 29-3.
Yeah. Well, I do think, when I watched that first matchup, by the way, we were really physical with them.
Right.
And one of the reasons why we went big, okay, in the selection of the players in this particular Olympics is because you knew you were going to have to face these kinds of teams, specifically Joker.
Right.
Guys, in the NBA, listen, he's playing against the best players in the world. He's killing everybody, okay? The problem is he doesn't have the NBA-caliber talent around him to make the plays as he does in Denver,
right?
Okay? He's still making great passes. He's still getting his. You're running AD and Embiid and all these guys at him. But I'm kind of in agreement with. I do know we were a little bit more physical with those guys because they felt like Serbia, right, they might have our number.
Windhorst goes on to write, Carl, that Steve Kerr has won titles, but is he a match in this chess game for Serbian legend coach Svetislav Pesic? And when you lock horns with Svetislav Pesic, who's 74. I mean, you know, you got to –
it's a lot of games.
That's a lot of Yugoslavian basketball.
It's a lot of
in
games.
In the former tense, of course, the Yugoslavian. Anyway,
yeah.
So just keep an eye on that. Hey, man, we were talking earlier today off the air, as we often do, about, you know, people their whole lives come up to the 3 minutes or the 2 seconds, whatever the event is in the Olympics, and it builds up to that moment. Well, today, as guys are competing in a 5,000-meter race, it's a semifinal, so obviously it's to get you to the championship round for the medals. Second heat of the preliminaries in the 5,000-meter, there are four laps in the race in, and they're coming around what would be like turns one into two, and all of a sudden, there's a camera guy just walking around with no idea that these guys are coming down the track.
He's not paying attention.
And he's standing right there. I know we're on the radio, so I can't give you the visual. I'm showing the picture to Carl. Here's the runners. There's the camera guy.
Yeah, he's being an idiot.
And when I say camera guy, like as in a TV camera, not some, you know, just photo guy that can just take a dive. The cameraman quickly realized his near damaging error, tries to back away, but by the time the runners are on top of him, they still had to swerve around to avoid him. And only one runner fell in the race, but that guy, man, he's out.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Because you can't get up, you can't catch up with that pack. I mean, and a lot of folks are going, what the deuce? I'm showing Carl the video, and as you can see, Carl, they're coming around the bend.
Oh, yeah.
And so, look, you got – there's a bunch of camera guys. Like, do you not know there's a race going on? Look at this. There's actually five people standing on the track. And all of a sudden, it's like – it's all of a sudden, it looks like the Midtown Connector.
Yeah, it does. And he just ruined that guy's 4 or 5 years of training.
Nice job, camera guy. Yeah. All you did was ruin something for Ethiopia today. And now Joseph Buttu can't get that medal.
Yep.
Jerk. Hey, man, I guess those guys at Boeing are having a bad couple of months.
How about a bad few years?
Yeah, they got a new CEO, by the way.
Yep.
Who's never worked at Boeing, which they're saying is a good thing.
Could be.
So the latest is their Starliner. This is the thing that got the guys, the man and the woman, American astronauts, up to the International Space Station. They went up there in June. They've been stuck there now since June. They're supposed to be there 8 days.
They can't get them home?
The Starliner, the Boeing craft that gets them up there, is apparently malfunctioning. They got all sorts of issues that have cropped up that Boeing can't get a handle on. And now they're saying, according to the Los Angeles Times, the two astronauts may have to wait until early 2025.
Oh, my.
Big difference. It's like me. I'm going over to Ireland, Italy. Going to be gone for like 10 days. And now I'm staying in Milan until February,
yeah, exactly.
And that's in a nice hotel room with good food, not up there in the ISS, which probably smells like a worn-out jockstrap.
Why doesn't Elon Musk send his rocket ship up there?
I was thinking the exact same thing. And people are asking NASA, saying, why doesn't NASA just get some – hell, call the Russians.
Somebody else.
They can shoot something up there to get these guys back.
Get somebody else.
I mean, that's talk about an extended stay.
That's a long time, bro. I mean, here's the deal, too.
Yes, eight months is a big difference.
Well, you guys know this. When you're on vacation and it's like, all right, I've had enough. I'm ready to come home. And then they're like, yeah, flight's delayed 10 hours. You want to murder somebody. So can you imagine 8 months? Hey, by the way, you guys, we apologize. You won't be able to come home right. For 8 months. Eight months?
Imagine that. You're sitting there. It's like, oh, look, Tommy, there goes Africa again. There's Madagascar. Oh, look, there's the Indian Ocean. Yes, I've seen it 27,000 times.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's your guide talk brought to you by our Dukes of Bell. Hey, Man Ale. We are told, by the way, it'll be on draft here next month, in coming September to Taco Mac. We will have the kegs up here so
can
enjoy the goodness.
Cannot wait, guys. And by the way, you guys can come hang out. They got the wall of beer here.
Yes.
All right? So come hang out, have a drink, and enjoy. Coming up, Falcon Report, the latest from Miami. Also, Strong Arm Story of the Day is on the way, and news that you might not believe when it comes to the Braves. It's all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.